The Gambling Files Podcast, the podcast that's sponsored by Sporting Tech. They're lovely. So, this is the Gambling Files Podcast. I'm your host, John Bruford, but I say your host, I'm just one of your hosts. Joined by my erstwhile co-host, Fintan Costello. Fintan, hello.
Hello, John.
Hello. So, Fintan, this episode, right, we're joined by Jennifer Gaynor of J. Gaynor Law fame, who talks to us about things that are going on in Las Vegas, including but not limited to what? It's a test.
It's a test if I was paying attention. We talked about stuff. We talked about F1. We talked about I talked about F1. I can remember what I talked about. No, we talked about the sports teams. We had a bunch of, what was it, in 19 consecutive months with $1 billion of revenue, over $1 billion of revenue in Vegas.
And that's just gambling revenue. That is extraordinary.
John talked about a stake because, you know, he's a high roller.
Vegas could be the new Macau.
Could be the new Macau. We talked about that.
Fucking stake. Don't get me started on that. Rob dogs.
We'll save the magic for the full episode. I nearly said Fatita, but I think that's a...
It's close enough. I think he sounds delicious, though.
He does sound delicious. So frittata. How do you pronounce his name?
I can't believe you went there. Tillman Fertitta and his investments and the stuff that's planned for developing the south end of the strip. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Anyway, look, Jennifer's obviously the smart one in the conversation, and she's far more knowledgeable than us idiots on Las Vegas. So she had lots of interesting things to say.
She really did.
She's very patient.
But Fintan, two small things. One, how are you?
I'm okay. I've just had a massive, I'm surrounded by tissues. I've just had a massive sneezing fit, but I think I've given myself a hernia. But apart from that, I need to clean my screen.
As long as they're all only snotty, that's fine.
Oh, trust me. But yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Super. I had my blood test results and all that from the doctor yesterday. That was quite exciting.
Yeah, the syphilis cleared up. All good?
It's cleared up very well. Nice. The gonorrhea is lingering, which is a shame because it's so much harder to spell, you know. Dear mum. But no, that's great. I mean, it does mean that they've got no idea why I fainted or anything. But what you gonna do?
Well, at least it's like it ticks one set of boxes that there's nothing obvious there, and you know, it's all about working through a checklist.
My heart's good. I did weigh myself. I'm a little bit heavier than I thought I'd be.
You're still lighter than me, though.
No, I'm not.
Yes, sure.
No, I'm not.
I did the maths last night. I converted the freedom units into kilos, and you're definitely lighter than me.
What do you weigh?
This morning, 94 kilos.
Oh, man, I can't do it in kilos. It's 2.2 pounds, isn't it?
It's, you said 200 pounds was 90 kilos.
You fat bastard.
I know.
I'm disgusted.
Normally, I wouldn't roll this out, but actually, I have been putting on a little bit of muscle. And as we all know, muscle's heavier than fat.
Well, I'm pretty sure it weighs the same amount.
Well, density-wise, smarter. But I'm definitely a bit more bulked up than I have been.
Is that because you've been doing CrossFit?
Look, I'm just saying, I started CrossFit and all of a sudden I've got shoulders. All right, just things are happening. Things are happening. There's a hint of a bicep. Never had one of those before. No idea. And stuff's happening. Stuff's happening. My body's changing.
Do I need to start doing CrossFit?
There is
CrossFit in the nearest city, which is, I say city, it's not a city to most people. But there is a CrossFit place sort of about 40 minutes away.
To be honest, it doesn't, just go lift weights. That's every man as they get older just needs, or everyone as they get older just needs to lift heavy stuff.
I guess then I should probably go into the garage and put that weight bench together finally. But the garage roof is being repaired later this week, which is quite exciting. And once the garage roof is repaired, I might do that.
Well, you know, you earn extra man points if you're bench pressing in the rain, mate. That's just put on some Rocky music and just go for it, right?
I'll be in there bench pressing while they're taking the roof off. So when they peel the roof back, I'll just be like,
topless, smoking a joint, just like, what was that movie? The cover was the girl covered in roses or something.
American Beauty,
that's it. And he was doing that whole kind of like his rebellion of doing like bench presses and smoking joints in the garage, like a teenager. I could see it now.
It's a terrific film. And of course, such a film could only be made by a British director. Anyway, we should go and say hello to Jennifer.
We should.
Yeah. Enjoy the episode. Imagine an iGaming platform so good, it'll make you shit your pants. Sporting Tech! And we move to our first guest, the widely renowned, the very well known, the celebrity lawyer for celebrity lawyers, Jennifer Gaynor. Welcome, Jennifer of J. Gaynor Law.
Good morning.
Tony, morning for you. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Fintan, you don't know this. Well, you might know this, but I don't think you do. When I was in Vegas, I met Jennifer in the flesh for the first time.
Wow. How was that?
I don't know if Jennifer remembers it. She was at a bar.
I was, and this random man came walking by with like a very suspicious look on his face. I was like, is that Bruford?
Did you call security? Did you just like, let's just make sure this isn't a thing and just get rid of him?
I looked around. I checked for exits. You know, I
got the pepper spray ready just in case. Yeah.
Just in case. But no, it was delightful.
It was very nice to meet you in person. And it is quite strange. Did you know that Fintan and I have never met in person?
No.
Yeah, we've never met.
That's insane.
Isn't the internet amazing?
The internet is amazing.
Yep. See, this way we get to keep our own STDs to ourselves.
This way John never finds out I'm actually 5 foot tall.
There's nothing wrong with being 5 foot tall, Fintan. My sister, my lovely sister, is 4 foot 10.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
She's terrified of getting osteoporosis because she could technically become a dwarf still.
It's 4'9", right? That's the cutoff?
I don't know if it's 4'8 or 4'9", but it's right around there. And she's like,
oh, wow, okay.
You know, any doctor discussing any kind of amputation with her better be prepared to bleed. She'll fuck them up.
Well, she can always just, you know, push her hair up with hairspray, you know, like Texas style.
I have a colleague who does that.
Is his name Fintan?
No. Although your hair does make you 6'3".
It does.
But whenever I see your hair, it brings back fond memories of being a teenager and watching the movie Eraserhead.
Okay. Cheers, mate.
I mean, talk about your obscure references. I think this is a testament to the diverse conversations that we have on this podcast. That we've already brought up dwarfism, osteoporosis, and Eraserhead. So thanks for that. Let's celebrate conversational diversity. Jen, we are here today to talk about things that may or may not be happening in Las Vegas. Now, because I emailed you and I said, wow, we should probably talk about this because this is probably quite interesting. Anything exciting going on?
Well, one thing that's going on, we just had the World Series, the Phillies versus the Astros, and the Houston Astros won. And with that win, this guy, Jim Mattress Mac, I'm not very good at pronouncing. Anyway, Mattress Mack.
Mattress Mack.
A record $75 million from sports books across the country.
Jesus, for that kind of money, you could almost afford to buy bonusfinder.com.
Yeah, so I'm sure sports books are reeling from that one.
So it was like, didn't he do, wasn't it like five books he went to, I think?
Yeah, he spread it around.
And the biggest hit was Caesars for $30 million.
Oh, but surely they'd have laid this off, and because for him this is just like sports insurance. So because I looked him up, and it's like as a marketing nerd, like just hats off to this guy. The publicity he gets from these bets is just ridiculous. But for people who don't know him, what he does is he's got a furniture empire somewhere in America, and he runs these promotions where buy $5,000 worth of furniture. And if the Phillies win, you get it for free. And then all he does is he just lays off his exposure with the bookies as like a sports insurance thing. But then everybody loves him because it's like as a marketing promotion, if you're buying furniture, it's fantastic. And then apparently, like if you actually dig into it, apparently like he does a lot of financing, and there's a whole thing. Like if you start reading the online reviews and stuff, it gets quite punchy, but I'll let the listener do their own research. So there's a whole kind of like high APR financing business on the back of this as well. So he's making money both ways. It's brilliant. And then he just sports insures it with the bookies, and they love it because it's like, yeah, we've just took a 10 million bet and we've done this and we've done that. And
there's a bit of an urban myth in there, Fintan. He doesn't have a furniture store. His nickname, Mattress Mac, comes from the fact that his wife sleeps on him.
John. So that's no.
Oh no!
No, that one didn't land.
Just amusing myself. But it is pretty extraordinary. I mean, obviously he's won plenty of times, but it's the scale of this one, isn't it?
But he's even when he loses, he wins because he's sold the furniture on finance, and he's getting the APR off that. So like he's just created this lovely machine. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Like, it is. Like,
why isn't everybody doing this is what I don't understand.
I need to figure out a way to do this like on a much smaller scale. You know, I'll bet, you know, $10.
Well, I know when I, many, many years ago when I worked at Paddy Power, they set up, it's still going, they set up what they call Ert and Risk, which is like a, you know, if you want to do hole-in-one insurance, or if you're a car dealership and you want to do like, hey, if Ireland win the World Cup, the car's free, or yeah, that's a long shot. It might sell a car though. Or if you're like football teams and you've got like player bonuses and for performance and these kind of things. So there is companies out there that do this professionally behind the scenes. But what he's done is what Mr. Mac has done is just turned it into a marketing machine, and then all the bookies are doing the marketing for him. It's brilliant. It's just so smart. I love it.
It is. Well, you can insure anything. I think at one point Kylie Minogue insured her butt.
I couldn't possibly comment on that, but
I'm just putting an opening there for you, John, to walk through.
No, I'll be honest. If I ever woke up to the police battering down my door, I wouldn't be phoning my lawyer, which is you, Jen. I'd actually be on the phone to the insurance company insuring my ass.
Fair enough.
You know, pretty boy like me in jail. Oh, Jesus, it doesn't bear thinking about.
Well, back to Las Vegas. Well, let's talk about what's going on here.
God, how do we get sidetracked like that?
I know we do. We go down a rabbit hole. But September marked the 19th consecutive month that the state of Nevada brought in more than $1 billion in gaming revenue.
19 consecutive months. Well, obviously when we met, I was at G2E. And yep. I think Just to clarify this, is that is gambling revenue. Just gambling revenue. It's not mice. It's not any of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Vegas is stunningly expensive at the moment. I mean, like I've never experienced. And it's not the exchange rate. Like the publisher of Casino International and myself went for breakfast. And it was a bog standard breakfast with a fairly shit steak and some quite peculiarly poached eggs. I had a couple of sides and a glass of water. He had, I think, a coffee, an orange juice, steak and eggs, nearly $100. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Well,
and room rates are through the roof. So, I mean, if the gaming revenue is right up and you know, the hold and everything, it's all functioning as it should, then, yeah, the gambling operators are absolutely coining it because occupancy is really high and room rates are through the roof. Not to mention the cost of fucking breakfast. Rob dogs.
But John, let's take a step back a second. And this isn't you like laying the groundwork for your massive expense claim for Las Vegas, right? But
I've already put that one in.
You had steak and eggs for breakfast. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
And then you're complaining it cost you, what, $50?
Yeah, but you see, when you say to a European that you had steak, they're assuming that it's a nice steak. It's not. Well, it's essentially, it's a strip steak, a New York steak or whatever, you know. We're not talking a freaking ribeye. We're talking about, fuck, it's not great steak. It's not a good cut of meat. It has not been matured. It's not what Europeans think of as steak, which is something that is really delicious and a treat. It's this awful body. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's perfectly tasty. And the one thing you get in almost anywhere in America when you order steak is you get a perfectly seasoned and perfectly cooked piece of meat. So the difference from place to place is the quality of the meat. And this meat was fucking shit.
Well, you have to still eat it before you come to Vegas again, because you're obviously eating at the wrong place, because we have lots of delicious food in Las Vegas, you know, world class.
Oh, I know. I went to that restaurant where they just bring you meat, and then while you're eating the meat, they bring you more meat. And it was like the one guy, he came up with this, it might have been ribeye, and he put a piece on my plate, and he's like, and he starts to walk off. I'm like, no, stay. And he laughed because he thought I was joking. I meant, no, I'm serious. Just stand right there. Just keep tipping it out. But anyway, I digress again. So, but yeah, 19 consecutive months. That's incredible. And, you know, when you look at the, I had to put this really. So if you look at the big operators, what's really interesting there is that Caesars almost looked not foolish. I would never be so bold. But they almost looked as though they'd really missed out on Macau, because MGM was absolutely coining it. Sands was absolutely coining it. Everybody was doing so well in Macau. Caesars had nothing over there. Macau is now on its ass for probably the 19th consecutive month, if not more. Caesars obviously is one of the biggest landlords on this. Well, no, they did an REIT, didn't they? But they're one of the biggest operators on the strip still, and they're absolutely killing it. So, you know, shows that they know a lot more than me.
Well, you know, Macau, it's just that zero COVID policy that China has that's really keeping it down. You know, that'll bounce back eventually.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you've got it's complicated, and there's the visa situation, there's the tender process and all that jazz. And, you know, consensus by those in the know seems to be that Macau isn't going to get back to where it was, because there's not going to be free visitation, etc. So, you know, maybe Vegas is back on top.
Yeah, I mean, we're on pace to break 20, you know, 2021 was a record year. We got $13.4 billion. We already had $11 billion through the end of September. So most likely we'll be our biggest game.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year to come. I'd say there's every chance.
Well, and the NFL football season's in full swing, and that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody really cares about that. I say that. I mean, the UK has been
you say that as a European.
The UK has been gripped by the World Series of Baseball.
Really?
No.
My husband, who's from Australia, as you know, he always complains about the fact that we call it the World Series, and he's like, it's not the whole world, it's just
right. He's right. I mean, could anybody, if I put together an amateur team here in Wales, could we take part? Probably not. Because, I mean, it's not even, it's like, so in the UK, we have a football competition called the FA Cup, which is the oldest football trophy in the world. But the thing about the FA Cup that makes it special is that all football clubs can take part in it. Yeah. And so all football clubs, even the lowest tier of organised football, they can all play in the FA Cup and they all have the chance to progress. The Premier League teams don't come into it until fairly late. But there's that, you know, it's the magic of the cup, right? But you don't even get the second tier baseball teams able to compete in the World Series. So it's not even all the baseball teams in the US.
No, it's all the Major League Baseball teams in the US.
It's just shit. Have you seen any of Welcome to Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney?
No.
It's a terrific series, but I think it's the first episode. So they bought a Welsh football club called Wrexham, which actually competes in the English League. It's a very old club in just a typical North Wales working class town with everything that comes with that. But the first episode, they're getting their heads around the fact that you have a league that you can be relegated from.
Yeah.
That you don't have a divine right to stay in there just because you're there. And it's like, that does Americans' heads in. It's like, what? Hang on a second. So you could lose your livelihood effect? Yes. That's why you have to fight really hard to stay. It's fabulous. Sorry. It's a good series, though.
Yeah, no, sounds interesting. You know, you said a working class town in Wales, and all of a sudden I just thought of Kinky Boots, but that's a totally different movie.
It really is, yes.
Based on the life story of John Bruford.
But ironically, I'm not old enough to watch it. The thing that I emailed you about initially to get you to come on was the delicious sounding Tillman Fertitta.
Yes.
He's been making some really interesting moves recently. What's going on there, Jennifer Gaynor?
I think maybe he wants to be the next Steve Wynn without the problems, you know, without the baggage, but kind of, you know, taking over the Las Vegas Strip. You know, he just got approved to construct the hotel resort, the casino resort down on the south end of the Strip across from City Center. And that's going to be huge. It's going to be, I think, what, 43 stories, 2,420 guest rooms, convention center, theater, and a car showroom. So, you know, you can get the big car shows there and everything. So, you know, that's pretty exciting. But then he also just made a big investment in Wynn. So, you know, if he makes moves there, he could have properties on the north and the south end of the Strip.
Well, I assume that the real estate on the Strip isn't sort of the same price from one end to the other. And the south end, the middle's been really well serviced.
Yes.
The north end's just had some really fabulous stuff happening in the last years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that was down on its ass. And the best thing about the north end of the Strip for quite a long time was the world's largest gift shop. The south end of the Strip is absolutely crying out for an injection of something. And so this could be really big. This could be the start of something really big.
Fair enough. But yeah, the north end, you know, it's still coming along. We've got Fontainebleau is finally supposedly going to begin operations at the end of 2023. You know, that thing's been just hulking there like a big blue, you know, skeleton.
It's getting rustier and rustier.
But yeah, supposedly 2023 is going to be the year. So we'll see.
I've got high hopes for 2023 because 2022 sucked.
I'm still in 2020. I haven't recovered from the first lockdown. I lost all, like the other day I had a panic attack. I'm like, what, it's nearly 2023? What happened to 2020? I've lost all track of time. Sorry, complete diversion there.
But. No, but it's fair. It's fair.
COVID time warp.
Yeah, I think so. So the Mr. Fertitta, like he, so obviously that's Mr. UFC. What else does he own? Because he's got quite an empire, right?
Yeah, Landry's. So he's got, you know, casinos and like the Golden Nuggets and a couple of states, you know, casinos, restaurants all across the country. You know, he's.
And was he involved with the Raiders coming to Vegas as well? Was that him or was that somebody else? Or did I imagine that?
Possibly.
Might have been a dream that you had during.
It could have been a fever
attack.
Dream. It could have been a fever dream. COVID booster got me.
Exactly. But, you know, the investment in the wind, you know, it was filed as a passive investment. But I guess if, well, he's got what, 6.1% stake in the wind now. And that's more than any other individual besides Elaine Wynn, who has either 8.8 or 8.9%. So, yeah. And if you look at like his track record, I guess he comes in as a passive investor and then he ramps it up. And next thing you know, he's an active investor and, you know, taking over operations. Like, you know, there's a couple of things like the Wynn. I think a lot of people see it as very undervalued right now. I think it was like at like $58 a share when he bought it. And after he purchased it, it jumped up a bunch so that I've got the numbers somewhere. Like his investments of $377 million is now worth $442 million based on the stock jump. So that's $68 million he just made.
But, with that,
right.
That Macau,
cool. That's better
that
than
Macau
that
thing. That I was talking about a minute ago. Because when Vegas was for a not insignificant amount of time being propped up by its properties in Macau, and now that their properties, you know, they've extended the Macau project and spent a pretty large amount of money, etc. It is really interesting that actually the thing that was helping them do so well before is possibly now what has left them open to a move like this that's kept that share price low because of those foreign liabilities.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Well, it's fascinating. The whole stock market thing is really, really interesting because, I mean, I appreciate this is probably not the best of examples, but it can leave companies, it can leave businesses really vulnerable, because of course anybody can buy stock. But I mean, the classic example is Manchester United, and the Glazer family of North America did a leveraged buyout of Manchester United to the fans' fury. But it's like, well, you know, your stock market flotation is where your money came from, which allowed you to invest in the ground, which allowed you to build this continued success. You can't really complain that something went wrong because ever since you've floated on the stock market, you've had this vulnerability. And I do wonder, you know, I look at properties on the strip. I look at MGM and Caesars both did an REIT. And I look at deals like that and I think, well, you know, if Blackstone or whoever wants to sell their share, they might wind up with a landlord they really don't want. They might wind up with a landlord who wants to punch a hole in them so that they can then buy them. But maybe it's just my nefarious way of thinking. Maybe I've just been hanging around with scumbags too long, looking at Fintan.
Thanks, mate.
John's master plan to take over the strip.
I wondered where you were going with that. John's master, do you know what I mean? I'm like, whoa, hold on now.
This is a family show.
Yeah. So for my kids could be listening to this. If they are, hello, kids, how are you doing? They do listen, and that's why I don't ever reveal why they haven't got new bikes on here anymore. Because that really did. I really shot myself in the foot that day. I really, really, I'm not doing that again. And yeah, sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, my son, he's about to turn 9. And the other day we were having a rap battle where we kind of roast each other, you know, using rap. It's very fun. Anyway, and he comes out with this line where he says that you're not cool just because you have more experience and you're a parent. I know when you said the cat went to the farm, she really died. Wow. So, I'm dealing with that now. I'm like wondering what else he knows that he's not letting on.
They know everything. They know everything.
But my only experience of rap battles was in the shelter in Detroit. Yes, where I went to a private party where Eminem played, and it was in the shelter where he started his rapping career.
Really?
Yeah.
Mic drop. Mic drop.
I was
an 8 Mile in the background.
Sorry, Jen?
I said, was that you in 8 Mile, you know, the movie he made in the background?
Sadly, it was the launch party for the 8 Mile DVD. And Universal flew me over for the party back when I had a real job.
Fair enough. Anyway, back to Las Vegas.
But you know what, Jen? If I could go back in time now, and I could see Eminem on that stage in that tiny little room, I'd say to him, "Eminem, are you looking for an iGaming platform? Because if you are, you should seriously think about talking to our sponsor, Sporting Tech." That's what I'd say to him. Sorry, Jen. What about Vegas?
As I say, what else is going on here? You know, sports, more sports. You know, we've got the Raiders, we've got the Golden Knights. We had our first major sports championship with the Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA team. They just won last month. Very exciting. And, you know, we're looking at possibly bringing some more major league sports teams here, maybe Major League Soccer. Maybe Major League Baseball. Both are, you know, in discussions.
And you also had the big F1 launch party for next year.
Oh. Exactly. Yeah, November 2023, the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
That is going to be epic. Don't watch Formula One, but I'll probably watch that.
So the thing was, as a F1 nerd, it's the first track that the F1 themselves own. So normally this is the first time they've actually built their own track. But if you look at like what they're doing with the launch, like they've never done a launch party for like any other track ever. And there's like, I've seen videos of like F1 cars being driven through casinos and.
Fenton, here's the thing that maybe isn't apparent to you yet, because I know you're not a Vegas dweller. It's going to be. Statistically, it's going to be the slowest race on the whole circuit because the fucking traffic in Vegas is really really bad.
You got to drive around those like those big billboard trucks with the strippers or whatever it is on it.
Ah, it's going to be grim. And if your car stops, there's a guy there slapping the tickets. You want a girl? That's what it's going to be.
It's also going to be, I think, the most expensive F1 event as well. Yeah. You know, but then $50 terrible steak, right?
But what, don't get
so just like Monica then.
But if you think about it, it's also, I mean, all of the events are in interesting places. But there's not many Formula One events that are surrounded by hotels. And yeah, I mean, exactly. Like every building's. I mean, the only other place that's a bit like that where they have a race is Macau, probably.
Monaco. Well, Monaco's because it's the street circuit and stuff, but it's so expensive. It's just a rich people's kind of race. And that's what I'm saying. So it's actually one of.
What was it like when you saw it there?
I tell you what, I've been dropping hints for the invite, but I've never got one.
Surely you just have to open your curtains.
It's suburban Amsterdam outside these windows, mate. But Joe, you're right, because it's a destination. It's so easy to get to. There's so much, like for any sporting franchise, it's a great place to be. Because every away, like for every away game for every team is like, oh, let's go to the Vegas game. It just becomes like just the no brainer for a group of lads to, or family or whatever, to go to Vegas.
Except for the people in Vegas who realize it's cheaper to like fly to Arizona or California to go to a game than it is to watch one here.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I think for the Vegas economy, it's like every sports franchise just adds more and more repeat traffic.
Well, it's been a big driver into the regeneration of parts of the Strip as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're, you know, for the Major League Baseball, you know, they're looking at a couple different places to possibly, you know, we might have the Oakland A's come to Las Vegas. And, you know, two places they're looking to build a stadium. One would be the Las Vegas Fairgrounds, which is up by Circus Circus on the north end of the Strip. And I guess the other would be where the Tropicana is down on the south end of the Strip. So north-south battle.
North makes a lot more sense, frankly. For my money?
South is closer to the airport, I guess.
Yeah, but once you're in the traffic, it's really largely irrelevant.
Yes, exactly.
What's the difference between an hour and a half to go two streets to have a $100 fucking steak? But I'm not bitter about my Las Vegas experience. A lot of good things happened. I got an electronic lighter.
What's that?
Well, so it's, I'm just, we've got a bit of video, so I'm just showing them. This is the sound of it. So see, it's like a circle of, and if I go like that, then it goes like that.
Oh.
Yeah. You smoke? You smoke, John?
No, I don't smoke, but I mean, I might start because I've got a lighter.
I've got the lighter now, so, and it's cool. So they just make
smoking. We'll have to take up smoking or pyromania. One
exactly. But what's interesting, I think it's like, there's that old Bill Hicks routine where he's like, well, I moved into a new apartment. It was in a new area, and I was walking down the street and walking past a drug dealer, and before I get there, he's like shouting, "Heroin, heroin, coke, coke," and I walk by, and he shouts, "Glue." It's like that, you see, because I bet you that when the top executives went onto the Mercury stand, I bet they got one of these that would light a cigar. I've got one that you couldn't even balance a rock of crack on.
Crack is out. It's fentanyl.
Yeah.
I've got a crack story.
Or Molly. Is Molly the other one?
This that's not as bad as it sounds, right? So I was talking to Annie Rose the other day, my daughter, and I was reading Scar Tissue, the Anthony Kiedis autobiography, Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I don't know if you've read it, Jen, but Fintan has, and Fintan is aware that Anthony Kiedis seems to have taken all of the drugs in the world. And my daughter was like, "What's the book about?" I said, "Well, it's the autobiography of a singer." And I explained what an autobiography is and who he was. What's he done? What's it? What does the story have? Well, he takes a lot of drugs. And she's like, "Oh, she's 10. Does he smoke crackling?"
Oh, the sweetheart.
What they call it in Middle Earth.
Just fantastic.
Oh, what an angel.
But no, he doesn't, Annie. have we missed anything? Is there anything else about Vegas that we've missed?
Not that I can think of, you know, we're moving along.
Well, while we just have a minute then, have you heard any good jokes?
Oh, yes, actually, I have.
Okay.
What do you call a cow with a twitch?
Milkshake?
Beef jerky. But yours was good too, Finn. milkshake.
You've got two choices now. Next time you unleash that joke, if they guess the one, you just go with the other.
Yeah.
I was, this is a true story. A friend of mine is a physicist, and he got home very late one night, and his wife was waiting up, and she's like, "Where have you been?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I went out with some of the lads from the lab, and we ended up having a few drinks, and then we had some shots, and there were some ladies, and we got chatting, and it was all perfectly innocent. And then it got a bit flirty, and I ended up fooling around with one of them. And I'm really, really sorry, but you know, one thing led to another." She's like, "You liar. You've been in the lab." That's about the best one that I've encountered recently. Fintan, any good jokes?
I've got nothing. Nothing. Sorry.
Can't believe you didn't come prepared. Jennifer Gaynor, thank you for joining us. It's lovely to have you, as always.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just at Gambling Files. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.